will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
To the downside of venture capital.
People said, well, don't sweat the small things. Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Don't want to wait until you jump off the cliff to grab a parachute.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another in a series of podcasts on the history of Silicon Valley. I'm your host, Ray Zinn, author of Tough Things First, and also Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO. With me today, I have my friend Peter Marchetti. Peter is an investment advisor and banker, and he's just has a lot of interest in the history of Silicon Valley. He's the one that prompted me to do this series. So welcome, Pete.
Hey, Ray. Thanks again for having me as usual. Of course, looking forward to learning a little bit more.
So let's go ahead. You had some questions you wanted to ask me or some ideas about, what really prompted Silicon Valley to really grow so rapidly.
Yeah, well, I mean, a couple of podcasts ago, you talked about the transformation of the Valley from one where the businesses were generating a lot of the revenue from the government, from military or for NASA. And then, you know, there were kind of a shift and consumer electronics started to come up and it created the need for more companies and more chips. And now we got to the late 70s, early 80s, and another revolution started coming out in terms of products. And that was the computer, the personal computer. And so, you know, I'd love to hear kind of like what your memories are about that time period and, you know, basically what was happening, what companies were starting up and, you know, how everything was changing again in Silicon Valley during that time.
Well, there was a real explosion in interest in the consumer area other than in military. Again, the military had kind of slowed down a little bit. On its demand, you know, they weren't an infinite consumer of electronics, and so in order for the industry to grow, it had to look for other ways to grow its revenues, and there were so many companies now that were growing in the consumer space. What I thought we'd talk about today is really what was happening in computing, because that's kind of what drove the history of Silicon Valley is really the computing industry, and the big guru in computing was IBM, and IBM of course made mainly big mainframe computers for the banking and you know the large companies needing computing power, but there was a group of guys down in Boca Raton, Florida, that worked for IBM. That had this idea about making a personal computer, and that was back in the late 70, 79, 80 time frame, of course, IBM corporate, they their main business was software and big computers, and they weren't interested at all in doing these personal computers. And so, because as I mentioned in our previous podcast, Micrel, my company that I started in 1978, we were doing testing services. And so we got involved with IBM, Boca Raton, in the early, late 70s, early 80s, and them trying to build a personal computer without really the support of a main corporate IBM. And so they were taking parts out of the mainframe computer and trying to use them in the PC. And of course they needed to have them retested because they were parts that were pulled out of PC boards. And so our company, Micrel, was involved with them and doing the testing and validation of these parts. And so it was interesting that, you know, the personal computer really began in the kind of the late 60s, early 70s with these hobbyists that were making these little computers themselves, home computers, using using Intel's Z80 or 8080, not Z80, 8080 microprocessor, really started these hobbyists, these amateur, computer guys building their own computers. And their base of that thing, other than the 8080 microprocessor, was the S100 bus. The S100 bus was a kind of the hobbyist, you know, interface system for the hobbyist PC.
Companies, so like, when you say hobbyist, Ray, these are people that are literally just getting parts, getting chips and whatever else is needed in building their own computers at home or in their garage or wherever.
Exactly. And that was the S100 bus, they called it, using the 8080 and the S100 bus. Heathkit came out with a Heathkit computer. And so IBM Boca Raton decided to use that Heathkit type design, that S100 bus, along with the 8080 microprocessor, to build a personal computer. And all they did was change the BIOS, the BIOS of the computer. And so they were able to, you know, very easily, by taking that kind of that hobbyist S100 bus and that 8080 microprocessor, along with their BIOS, were able to create their own PC. And that was called the PC Junior, Personal Computer Junior, back in the early 80s. So then they're trying to decide on the kind of software they wanted to run on it. And so IBM, Boca Raton, preferred CPM, which is a software company, a software technology developed by a company called Digital Research that was in the Bay Area. And so that, by the way, is also was a real interesting piece of information, because there was a company called Altos Computer that used that CPM software. It was a good software system for a personal computer. And so it just so happened that IBM Boca Raton had been in our office doing some testing, and they were going to go up to Sausalito to visit the president, CEO of Digital Research, just to acquire rights to the CPM software. And as it turned out, CEO of Digital Research had decided to fly to Aspen, Colorado, to be with his wife and children on a ski trip. So when the IBM guys got to their offices in Sausalito, they were upset that this president, CEO, they thought it was more important to go skiing with his family than to be there for the IBM guys. And so they called my secretary, the IBM guys called my secretary and said, book us a flight from San Francisco to Bellevue, Washington. And of course, you know, I kind of overheard that and said, what's that all about? And as it turns out, group in Bellevue, Washington was a group of guys, Bill Gates primarily, had this company called DOS, Digital Operating System, Disk Operating System, DOS. And so my secretary actually, you know, was the one that booked that flight for those guys to fly up to Bellevue. And so the guys from Boca Raton, IBM, actually signed an agreement with Bill Gates that very week. And that's really what became really the foundation of Microsoft. That's what really, I can say that my company, Mike Carell, was intimately involved in the and actually the development of the PC, and also the advent of IBM entering the personal computing market.
So if your secretary had been out on a bathroom break, Bill Gates would probably own a coffee shop right now in Seattle.
Exactly. Yeah, that's funny. That's a good point. But anyway, so that's exactly what happened. And of course,
what year was that again, Ray? Sorry. That was
1980, 81, somewhere, either 1980 or 81. And I don't know the exact date, but it's somewhere in that year. And it was just interesting that Bill Gates became, a Microsoft came out of that. And of course, Intel, because of that, became a very powerful company, because with IBM's horsepower behind the PC, Intel just skyrocketed, because that was the primary customer for Intel was IBM on the 8080 or an 8087, 8086, all those different microprocessors, and that's really what launched Intel was the PC. And what's interesting is that the largest consumer of semiconductors back in that time frame was a company called Atari, A-T-A-R-I. Atari was made the Pong games. They purchased more semiconductors than anyone on Earth. And that was kind of interesting because Atari is gone now, but they were the largest consumer up until, of course, the PC began to really take off. This whole thing with IBM really began, I think, the juggernaut of development of what Silicon Valley has ultimately become, is all because of what happened with IBM and the PC back in the early 80s.
What's interesting there, Ray, is you're talking about two companies that actually weren't even in Silicon Valley, right? You're talking about Microsoft in Washington, and then IBM, and whether it's Boca Raton or I guess New York, the fact that it all kind of ended up resulting in Silicon Valley, like all these companies being really headquartered here and operating here. It's kind of interesting how that all ended up unfolding.
Probably because of the semiconductor content. That's the Intel. Intel became a juggernaut. I mean, they just began to grow extremely fast because of the PC. And then, of course, everybody and their brother was jumping on the PC. You had the Osborne. You had the
Tandem, right, was another big one.
Right, Tandem. And anyway, there's...
Well, how about Apple, right around this time, obviously, they had started maybe a year or two before that, but it was still a really small enterprise. I mean, can you talk a little bit about Apple and their role? Because that is a Silicon Valley company, and they obviously
it's a real story on that one. Well, rather than take up this podcast on that, because that's a little longer one, we'll talk about that one in a subsequent podcast. But we're hardly out of the 80s yet. We haven't even got into the 2000s. So this is going to be a heck of a series of podcasts. So stay tuned, guys. You're going to get a chance to hear a little bit about Apple and how they got started and their early days. And that's another very interesting story. So, there are so many companies that were beginning to grow, and automotive became more interested in semiconductors in about that time frame. You have another industry that's supporting semiconductors out of automotive. So the semiconductors really are the heart of almost every electronic device that's made today. And we apologize if this is sounding like a little disjointed series of podcasts, because we were talking about the history, and we keep getting on these little stories, little side stories that are happening. So,
well, it's kind of hard to stay right on a strict timeline when there's so much involvement from companies working with other companies and whatnot. It's it seems natural that it's going to jump around a little bit, right?
But and we hope that that our listeners really enjoy listening to this. And if they do, please give us a thumbs up. You like this, what we're doing. Ask us questions. Help jog my memory. Please get involved. We'd appreciate if you have some history of Silicon Valley you'd like to share. Please let us know. We'd like to incorporate it in this series of podcasts. So we thought this was going to be just like four or five segments of Silicon Valley, going from the early 70s early 60s to the 2020. But here we are. We're up to seven of them, and we're hardly out of the 80s yet. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Please let us know if you like what we're doing. What you'd like to hear about Silicon Valley, we'd be happy to share that with you. Again, thanks, Pete, for being with me today. I appreciate the time you're spending on this.
Of course, Ray. Hey, it's my pleasure. I'm learning a lot. I don't really do much. I just sit here and listen to you to talk about the history of Silicon Valley, and I just take notes and enjoy it. So thanks for
listening. Yeah, I love it. Love it. Okay. Well, thanks again, Pete, for being with us. And you can tune in again for our next in a series of, we don't know how many podcasts this is going to consist of now. We thought it was going to be five or six, and we're already up to seven. We're not even out of the 80s. And so this could go on for quite a while. I can see this thing being a huge series of history of Silicon Valley. And we'd like to hear from our audience what you like, what you don't like, what you want to hear, what you don't want to hear. Look forward to having this ongoing series. Please look up my book, Tough Things First, if you're at Amazon or your favorite retailer, or my new book, Zen of Zen, which is a philosophical book on how to run your life or lead your life.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.